Turn with me to Galatians chapter 3. And what I'm going to do this morning is share with you what I've been sharing in our church in Richmond. God, for a number of weeks, has been emphasizing the deceptions that are in the world. We live in an age now where it's becoming more and more difficult to distinguish between what's right and what's wrong. To distinguish between the clean and the unclean. Even in the body of Christ, there's this battle going on now that what's right and what's wrong. We see on television Christian artists with secular artists. We see a person who professes to be Christian, who makes and directs a movie called The Passion of the Christ. And then the same individual who's been on Christian television talking about Jesus, talking about God, talking about the church, and then the divorce, and then the girlfriend, and then she's pregnant. This is the same man who does The Passion of the Christ. And for some, it makes no difference. We look at the BET Awards, and we see some of our favorite Christian groups on stage, hand in hand with Queen Latifah, who has come out of the closet. You know what that means, right? I didn't name the artists. I don't want to mess with some of your heroes. I'm going to leave them alone for the moment. See, that's church and home talk and home church. Now, home church in Richmond, I would name them in Richmond. See, we and our young people, they can't, what's the difference? This person said they're Christian, and yet when I go to the movies, they're using profanity. And they're saying, well, you have to understand, I'm an actor who is a Christian, but I'm not a Christian actor. But what's the difference? Are you a Christian first? Because if you are a Christian first, that touches every area of your life. I look on television just a few nights ago. Here's a star college football quarterback. I'm a Christian and I'm a virgin. But he's doing a photo shoot with his bare chest out. I'm leading up to Galatians. Paul writes this body, this church, a letter. This is a church he has founded. So he can speak not only as a preacher, he can speak as a father. And he says in Galatians chapter 3, verse 1, O foolish Galatians. You've been foolish. Who, not what, but who has bewitched you? See, that's how a pastor has to speak when he sees foolishness. That's what a dad does when he sees foolishness in a child. Who has bewitched you that you will go against everything I have trained you to do? Why would you go against that which you know, which is right? We've raised you, fed you, presented you to God, offered you to God as a child, presented you to God as you grew up. Whose voice did you listen to that bewitched you? Why can't you tell the difference between the clean and the unclean? Why is it okay for you to be hand in hand or to rejoice when you see a Christian believer who professes Jesus Christ on one end and then makes a song called Bootylicious on the other? You know who I'm talking about. Like I said yesterday, either say amen or just throw a brick up here. Somebody's got to get angry righteously. Somebody's got to stand up and say, enough of this foolishness. It's bewitching us. And so you see a lot of the world now in the church. I want to thank you, Pastor Thorne. You know what? I haven't seen any of the world in here. The Bible says, be not conformed to this world. All this world has to offer you is the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. And if you walk in it, don't walk in it to the degree that Adam did, because Adam rebelled against the word of God, and the manifestation of his rebellion manifested itself in his children. God said, if you will partake of this tree of the knowledge of good and evil, death will come. And death came, but not to him or his wife. The manifestation came in their children. I said to Pastor Thorne in his office just a moment ago, there are many parents who can't understand why their daughter's doing this, the son is doing that, why they're mixed up in this, mixed up in that, why they're not listening to them. They will never equate what's going on in their children to their disobedience. They'll take them to a Christian counselor. They'll find some Christian psychologist or psychiatrist. And if that's you, nothing wrong with that profession. I'm trying to make a point. But sometimes you got to talk to the parents, not the children. And so when the parents come and say, I want you to speak to my child and evaluate my child, the doctor needs to say, well, first let me evaluate you. Because just maybe, if you get yourself together, you don't have to worry about Junior. Junior just waiting for you to get yourself together. Now, let's get into the Bible now. I want to get into the scripture. I only have about 5 hours to preach, so I better get through this. I want to take my time with this, because there is a righteous anger. I don't want the world. I've been in it. It has nothing to offer. Oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey, here's a key word, the truth. Many people don't know what the truth looks like if it stood up and smacked them in the face. People are believing a lie after a lie after a lie. Anybody see infomercials? You know, you lose 30 pounds in 2 weeks. Eating cake and ice cream, anything you want. You can eat all you want to eat, and you can lose 30 pounds in 3 days. I got news for you. They lying. If you don't exercise, if you don't exercise some discipline and either push the entire plate away or limit your portions, you are not going to lose and look like that beauty queen or have that guy with the wash basin stomach. And no belt you're putting on is going to do it either. See, we have embraced a lie. Now, that's a silly example, but you bring that in the church, we have embraced lies. Primarily for money. I challenge you. I've been saved now since, I guess, 1980, 1981. My wife and I joined the church in 1982. Some of the guys that I was listening to then, they're saying the same thing now that they were saying 30 years ago. They haven't changed. And it's all geared for money. I heard a man, he was on television. He was ministering on being out of debt, getting out of debt. Don't borrow. It sounds great. Turn right back around and sit down to get my CDs and to get my tapes. Please use your credit card. And of course, that day, because of course, the reason they want you to use your credit card or your debit card is because they get the money right at that moment. On the one end, you're saying, get out of debt. But then you turn it back around and say, borrow to buy my products. God wants his people to know the truth. His disciples, and I always say this, Jesus said his disciples were his friends. Not just in ministry. These are my buddies. And they had a question for him. Who among us will be the greatest? When they went out and he empowered them to go out and cast out devils, they came back rejoicing, saying, the devils are subject to us. And you know what Jesus said? Don't you glory that demons are subject to you, but rejoice that your name is written. See, what I like about rejoicing here is rejoicing that my name is written. When I pray for the sick, I come in Jesus' name and I do rejoice because my name is written. I cast out devils because my name is written. And God is not looking for a sideshow. Throwing people to the floor and then have you come up with your envelope and lay it on the altar. Let me get to this. Okay. You're going to have to stay with me. You're going to get the short version again. Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 9. Then Paul says this, I marvel. This is what I like about this passage, Thorne. I marvel that you are turning away so soon. It would be just like you preaching a message last Sunday. You speak the truth last Sunday, and the very next gathering, the people are following a lie. You would marvel. Wait a minute. Okay, I can see if a lot of time had passed and you hadn't listened to the CD, you haven't listened to the message in a while, so gradually you forgot. But I would marvel that the next week, Paul was marveling the fact that I marvel that you are turning away so soon. You haven't been Christians long. You're already turning away. And there is going to be a great apostasy, a great turning away that's coming. And that turning away is not going to be in the world. See, the true church, your persecution is not from the world. It's going to come from a false church. A church within the church. I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of our Christ to a different gospel. I want to present to you today that's a different gospel being preached in America. I'm going to say that again. I'm submitting to you there's a different gospel being preached. It is the money gospel. I'm not here to mess with anybody's heroes. If you like them, that's your business. But when someone is saying to me what Jesus, if he were alive today, he would have stayed at the Renaissance where Jesus said, foxes have holes. And birds have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. When I'm being told that Jesus was rich, the Bible says Judas carried the bag. Jesus has some money. And yet Jesus said, for you to lose all. Paul said, that I may lose all to gain Christ. I count all things as what? Dung. Oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? You think this is about the dollar bill? Give God a dollar, give 100 back. And have you ever heard that? 100-fold return. I embraced that years ago when I first got saved. I didn't know any better. The people who I thought should know say, hey, you write God a check on Sunday for a dollar, put it in the offering, and during the weeks, $100 is going to come back. And I embraced that to a degree, but I grew out of that. Okay, let me finish reading. Then it says, verse 7, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. And I would say that day is here. Then he goes on to say, but even if we, are you ready for this? But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. Now you have to ask yourself this question, what gospel am I listening to? Because there is a gospel that's being preached that needs to be accursed. It goes on to say in verse 9, and we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches, anybody preaches any other gospel to you than what you heard, let him be accursed. The Bible goes on to say in 1 John, 2 John, chapter 1, verse 7 through 11, for many deceivers have gone out into the world who do not confess that Jesus has come in the flesh. Now, any of you know the difference between a denomination and a cult? A cult denies the deity of Jesus. A denomination does not deny the deity of Christ. It may differ on how we do baby dedications or how we baptize and so forth, but it doesn't deny the deity of God. But a cult denies the deity. If you ever talk to a Jehovah's Witness, and I can tell you right now, the first books they're going to come against are the Gospel of John and the Epistles of John. Why? Because those books tell us that Jesus is God. And so cults will come against those books and say, man wrote those books. Man is chanting with those books because, yes, we do believe in Jesus. We do believe in a prophet named Jesus. We even said that he died on the cross, but he's not resurrected. He wasn't born of a virgin. He was a man just like you and I. And we are not to embrace that. Now, the sad thing, you know, Bishop Harry Jackson, I was up at his church some months ago. And they took only pastors. A group of about 100 pastors signed a petition concerning the marriage amendment. That marriage, of course, is between one man and one woman. Well, the world decided they wanted to counteract that. They didn't go to worldly groups. They got another group of pastors. You hear me? Over 100 group of pastors to say what they are saying is wrong. And that they would embrace same-sex marriage. That's the false church within the church. That's that other gospel that's being preached. That's that being bewitched. And when you don't stand up for truth, you are bewitched. Because God has no middle ground. If you don't stand up for the truth, you will stand up for a lie. And if you are going to take a stand for what's right and for what's true, be prepared to stand alone. That was a good statement. That was a good shouting time. That was a good, yeah. Preach it, Reverend, preach it. Be prepared. Sometimes in the city, you may be the only pastor in that city standing. Say, I'm not going to embrace that. I'm not going to marry John and Joe. I'm not going to counsel them. I'm not going to marry Mary and Sue. If your name's Mary and Sue, forgive me, but I'm not going to marry Mary and Sue. If you have a Christian school, if you are looking for employees, and by the way, having your bylaws, that you would not accept as an employee someone who openly practices certain lifestyles, because, see, you can be sued if you don't. And if you go up to Canada, they will call this a hate speech. It's not hate speech. It's a truth speech. Now, let me give you God's remedy, because God got some answers. Let me read Jude first. I'm going to go over to Jude. I'm going to read a few verses out of here. Then I'm going to go over back to John, and then we're going to close, because I want to close with the solution, not the problem. God's got an answer. Jude says, Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith. That's what I want you to do. Contend for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. For certain men have crept in unnoticed. Now, pastor, elders, ministers, deacons, your responsibility that when certain people creep in every church, it is your responsibility to drive them out. I'll say that again. If you read the book of Revelation where it talks about, I know where Satan's seat is. Let me tell you where Satan's seat is in here, if he has one. Any place of division, Satan has had a seat. He's enjoying the service just like you. Because he knows divide and conquer. The place of power is when you and I are one. That's why the devil hates churches. He wants you to compete with the church down here, and that church compete with the church down there. And yet he can get a group of people who scientists, doctors say, maybe are 2-4% of the population. Maybe. And yet they have this much political influence because they're one. How much could we get done if we're one? Husbands and wives, how much could you get done when you're one? All right, let me finish reading this. For certain men have crept in unnoticed, who long ago were mocked out for this condemnation, ungodly men who turned the grace of God into lewdness and denied the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. But I want to remind you, though you once knew it, that's a sad place to be in. You read Hebrews chapter 5, where the writer says, some of you should have been teachers by now. You've been this for a season, yet you still need milk. There's some of you in this congregation, you should be teachers by now. There are people God wants to send to you, but you need milk. Why? You refuse to grow. I want you from this day to say, I'm going to grow. I'm going to be the man, woman, child of God that he wants him to be. And listen, speak to these young folk. Don't think their age is holding them back. David was 16 years old when he was received his first anointing to be king. Lay hands on these teenagers. You got some kings in here. The Bible calls them in verse 16, these are grumblers, complainers, walking according to their own lusts. And they mouth great swelling words, flattering people to gain advantage. But you, beloved, remember the words which were spoken before by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how they told you that there would be mockers in the last time who would walk according to their own ungodly lusts. But you, building yourselves up in your most holy faith, praying in what? Then he says, keep yourselves. That's your choice. There's God's part and there's your part. God wants his word in you. He wants you to receive with meekness. Doesn't grab the word that saves your soul. But do you know that God wants you to thirst and hunger? God can give you the word every day of the week and twice on Sunday, but if you're not hungry for it, how hungry are you? You looking at your watch? I'm going to time for service, be over, Pastor. Bullets just said 12 o'clock, Pastor. He's still up there talking. Be hungry. Get hungry for the word the same way you are hungry for natural food. Because the natural food is going to just pass through. But the word abides. And it makes you different. And it makes you better. Build yourselves up in the most holy faith. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And on some, have compassion, making a distinction. In the King James, which I like actually better, some having compassion, making a difference. Compassion for the lost. You don't dog the lost out. You have compassion for them because we were once in their shoes. We know where they are. We know why they talk the way they talk, why they think the way they think, and why they do the things that they do. Sinners are going to sin. They don't be shocked when a sinner sins. You need to be shocked when a Christian sins. Because God has given us a power and choices not to. And here's the good news. Even if you do, God has a remedy. Now, we don't take full advantage of it. God has given you a way of escape. It's an old-fashioned word. You don't hear it too much on Christian radio, Christian television. Starts with an R. When the gospel was preached the first time, the first message began with this subject. It wasn't believe. It was repent. And as I said last night, if you research the Bible, if you read the Bible, especially the New Testament, you cannot find anywhere in the New Covenant. And if you do, correct me. I'm fine. I can be corrected. But you cannot find anywhere in the New Testament where God says believe and repent. It's always repent and believe.